91X now presents In Touch with Quinty, conversation and information about issues that matter to our community.
This is Sierra Turry, and you're listening to this week's episode of In Touch with Quinty. We're approaching the end of the United Nations' 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence. It's an annual movement that begins on November 25th, which is recognized as the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. The theme for this year is called Orange the World, with the hashtag HearMeToo. Cities in over 90 countries are decorated in orange as a symbol of solidarity, hope, and courage for women and girls who have been victim to violence. Here in Belleville, the Orange Campaign started with a vigil on Sunday. I spoke to three members of the local Grandmothers Advocacy Network, called Grand Quinty, the people behind the vigil. In this podcast, Jan Sosiak, Teresa Taylor, and Mika Thorne help explain what Grand Quinty is, what the Orange Campaign is about, and what it means to them. To start us off, Jan will explain what the Grandmothers Advocacy Network is, and Teresa will help explain how the Quinty membership came to be. For listeners who might not already know, can you explain what the Grandmothers Advocacy Network is?
Well, it's a national volunteer organization, and we work to help the grandmothers in sub-Saharan Africa who are suffering from poverty and from the work of having to raise their grandchildren because their own children have died from AIDS. They've lost almost a whole generation of people to AIDS. So these grandmothers, next to nothing, are trying to raise their children. And so the organization GRAN, and there are many, many GRAN groups all across Canada, it works to advocate for these women. We try to advocate to change policies that will make it easier for them, help them out. We've got three main focuses. One is that all girls, all women and girls, school girls especially, will be able to access education and to end gender-based violence, which is the focus of this campaign. And the third one
is health,
to access medicines.
So how did the Quinty membership form?
It's fairly new. We have been associated with the national and aware of the national GRAN network and what they've been doing. Actually, we've met some people who are working at national level. There's someone in this area. Jen has had a lot of communication with her. And we decided that we should form our own GRAN Quinty and take on some of the work that the national are doing in our area.
Yeah, the national GRAN has been wonderful, very big help, just to give us direction and guidance and suggestions that it didn't seem overbearing. It was good, made it easier anyway.
When did the Quinty group form? You said it's fairly new.
Originally there was an advocacy group in the Stephen Lewis Foundation Grannies for Africa. I think most people have heard of them. And then because when you're working on advocacy, you have to be a little political. You have to write letters to the Prime Minister. And that was a little difficult for to be a charitable organization. You're not really supposed to do much advocating politically, or it can be a drawback.
Yeah, well, it's actually their government rules if you're a charitable organization. And one of them is you're limited to the amount of advocacy you can do because it's political action, right? If you're writing letters to and asking for changes in policy, etc. So that is when the GRAN organization, this was a number of years ago when the Conservative government was in power, and so it was decided that the advocacy work would be done under GRAN, and the Stephen Lewis Foundation would continue supporting the grandmothers in a financial way with the projects, funding the projects that the grandmothers have. So that was a little bit of the background of how GRAN developed. And we were aware of all this history, and then I don't know when we started our local group.
Well, we just migrated from the advocacy. I was on the advocacy network in the Grannies group. And then when we started a separate organization, we just moved over, but most of the members belong to both groups. So we both work to make change through advocacy, and we fundraise with the grannies. It's all for the same people.
As I mentioned earlier, one of the campaigns currently taking place is the Orange Campaign. In the next part of our conversation, we learn a little bit more about what it takes to bring the movement to Belleville.
So the Orange Campaign and the 16 Days of Activism are underway right now. Can you talk a little bit more about what's involved in those?
Well, the whole focus of the Orange Campaign is to stop violence against women and girls. It has been going on since 1991. Actually, I originally thought it was a UN campaign, which it is now. It was originally started by the Center for Women's Global Leadership in 1991, and it was the first Women's Global Leadership Institute. And then shortly after that, the UN took it on as a global campaign that they sponsored and advocated for every year. And it's just growing all around the world, which is wonderful.
So did you say the goal of the campaign is mainly education?
I think so, for sure, yeah. And then hopefully that will lead to less violence. There's a lot of violence right in our own city. One of the speakers at the vigil was Deputy Chief Mike Callahan, and he spoke about the violence that he sees in domestic violence, domestic abuse situations. It certainly hasn't been eliminated yet, so hopefully it's awareness and education will bring the numbers down a little bit, I hope. That's the goal, anyway.
So what goes into the preparation of the Orange Campaign in the Belleville area?
Well, this is the first year we've done it, so we had to do a lot of education ourselves to learn more about it. And then we got a deputation ready to take to Belleville City Council. We reached out to supporters before that, people who would support us, other groups like the Sexual Assault Center and Amnesty International. There are 13 or 14 groups that right away, everyone responded positively that we approached. And I think that helped City Council realize it was such a big issue across the whole city of Belleville that we wanted to address it. From then on, we were busy making lapel ribbons and scarves and just trying to educate people, get the word out.
Another thing we did, and we approached different organizations and different small businesses to see if they would display a poster and a little box of solidarity ribbons. So if they wanted to make a little donation or pick up a ribbon and wear it in solidarity. And it's interesting because people have approached me, you know, I was at a flower shop the other day and someone said, oh, why orange? And it's an opportunity to be able to talk about the issue.
That was the conversation I had with Jan Sosiak and Teresa Taylor from Grand Quinty. We're going to hear from Jan again a little later. I also had the opportunity to speak with Grand Quinty member Mika Thorne. We talked about how she also uses orange accessories as a way to spark conversation about the movement.
We've only done this the first time, but I'm telling you, I mean, I'm being asked because both my husband and I wear an orange scarf. And this is a sort of start of the Christmas season. But not only that, we we also have our orange lights on and orange balloons in front. And people are saying, what on earth are you doing? Mm-hmm. And whenever we have a chance, I talk about it. And people don't know about it, but they always have a positive answer because they know something has to be done. And education has to happen in that regard. And I don't often wait for people to ask. I just mention it. You might wonder why I'm wearing orange. And so that's how and then the conversation happens.
Would you say the conversation is growing in the Belleville area?
Yes, the conversation is growing. And I guess, you know, like we were pleased with the first event. You know, we hope that it will continue to grow, and we can only have it growing if we continue doing, even the simple thing as wearing something orange during this time when most people have all the Christmas lights on and have Christmas colors on.
So what would you say your ultimate goal, or what do you hope to achieve, maybe not only specifically with the Orange campaign, but also with Grand Quinte as a whole?
Well, I mean, we have to keep advocating, and of course I think the people in Ottawa do the advocating at the Parliament, but we are then giving ways in which we can talk about it and talk to people and say, this is what we're doing, this is what you can do to make it more aware through media, through Facebook, through any kind of way. But word of mouth. Word of mouth is a big advertiser. Mm-hmm. You know, one talks to another, talks to another. And in this case, it is the grandmothers. And the grandmothers, if they're lucky enough to be able to be retired, to have the time to work at this and encourage other grandmothers to come and join us to advocate a better world, basically.
That was Mika Thorne from Grand Quinte. The Orange Campaign wraps up on December 10th with a letter-writing campaign through Amnesty International at Bridge Street United Church. Here, letters are written to prisoners of conscience and to their families. Letters written on behalf of prisoners will also go to public officials. We wrap up today's episode with some final reflections about the importance of community activism.
Well, I guess it goes back in a way, a long way. When I first came to Canada, and I still, I don't have family that I was born with, now a huge family, but it just made me into a social activist because I needed an outlet for not having family. So it started with refugees. Then when we came to Belleville, it was Amnesty International. So there was already activism there through letters and so on. And then it came the Quinte Grannies for Africa and, of course, more refugees. So it was a normal fit. It was just part of it, because I was already for 12 years part of the Quinte Grannies for Africa, and Gran being also to do with sub-Saharan Africa, it just was a fit. And not only that, personally, I worry about the world. My heart goes out to the world. There isn't a night that I don't think about the world and making all to make at least even a drop in the ocean improve, like trying to make things better for people, because my heart cries. My heart cries for what's happening around the world. The violence against women and girls, the violence, the lack of human rights, it hurts. And then it hurts also here in Canada. I just think there should be equality, human rights for all, and it's not happening. It's not happening, and people are becoming more individual, scared because of the world, just wanting to be too much individual. We have to open our hearts, our brains, and only if we work together will the world be a better world. A world in which we accept each other, respect each other, whoever we are, whatever we have, whatever religion, faith, or whatever we believe in, and whatever gender. My heart aches, and the trouble is, one can only do so much. We try, and we do, and even with refugees, it's a drop in the ocean, but it's better one drop than no drop at all.
Mm-hmm. Very well said.
That was Mika Thorne from Grand Quinte. Fellow member Jan Sosiak leaves us with this final thought.
I think it's important for all people to become political and to find out what is going on at your municipal and provincial and national level, and just become involved if you can. At least learn about it first, and then it's very important, I think, for the future of the world to know what's going on and to know you've got a voice, too, and to use it.
That's all for In Touch with Quinty this week. Tune in again next week for another episode of In Touch. I'm Sierra Turry. Thanks for listening.
This has been In Touch with Quinty, heard weekly at this time on Alternative Radio 91X.